Blog Talk Radio.
Give it up for Naughty by Nature!
Of Midnight Madness. I am your host, Corey Ponarolo, and alongside me in South Orange is JF, better known as John Fanta. John, how are things over on campus there, brother?
All is well, quiet but well, as we take you deep into the night here on Midnight Madness, my friend. A great 4th of July weekend in beautiful Bridgewater, New Jersey. But you know what? Some people just, around the sports world, didn't know how to put a limit on the fun that they had. We'll get to that in a little bit. But ready for a new week of Midnight Madness as the summer rolls along. Cannot believe it's July already, partner. Doing well, though. Doing very well.
Love to hear that, John. On behalf of both John and I, we hope that everyone had a blessed, safe, and patriotic 4th of July, and I hope everyone followed John Fanta's barbecue tips, remembering to keep it medium rare. John, as I mentioned before, I did hope for all of our listeners that they had a safe 4th of July weekend. And I do say safe because I know not everyone in the sports world was quote-unquote safe this weekend, so let's transition right into our opening segment. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. Quote unquote, here we go. Tip off, John, the stage is yours.
Well, like many people, Jason Pierre-Paul wanted to throw off some fireworks this past weekend. Now, I get it. Everybody wants to put off fireworks. It's fun. It may not be legal, but hey, if there's a weekend to do it, look, I'm not going to be the one stopping you, and frankly, I think at times, well, police have decided to kind of look the other way because, hey, it's the 4th of July weekend. Nothing against all of our law enforcement, but hey, I'm being honest. Jason Pierre-Paul, well, the story comes out of Florida that he injured his hand in a fireworks accident. And reportedly, he has remained in the hospital today, Monday. He is reported to have, quote, severe burns on his palm and tips of three fingers, end quote, with one finger being tested for nerve damage. Ian Rappaport saying that Pierre-Paul, well, now is in some big trouble. It was ESPN's Adam Schefter who reported, along with Rappaport, that the New York Giants have pulled a $60 million long-term contract offer to the defensive end, who, by the way, played in all 16 games for the Giants in 2014. He tallied 76 tackles. He racked up 12.5 sacks. He forced 3 fumbles. He's a 2-time Pro Bowl selection. He's one of the anchors to the New York Giants defense. And this is a guy that was going to get that franchise tag. Now, Jason Pierre-Paul, not expected to accept the offer prior to the accident, appears set to play on the $14.8 million franchise tag the Giants gave him in March. The sides do have a July 15th deadline to reach a long-term deal. But the fact is, for now, the Giants have pulled the $60 million long-term contract offer to Pierre-Paul. That's gone. $60 million. Who knows what Pierre Paul is going to get this upcoming year? Because there are possibilities that he not only misses the preseason, but he possibly misses the start of the regular season. $60 million down the drain. Of course, he can make money at some other point in time, but that's just dumb. Fireworks accident for a guy who is the anchor of a Giants defense that frankly needs him. New York needs him. They're in great need of him to play well. He doesn't have to do unbelievable things. He would have to do unbelievable things for them to really get to the playoffs, but he's the type of guy, he's a franchise staple. He's supposed to represent the franchise in the finest of ways. That's what the definition, when you get a franchise tag, that's what your franchise, your team, your organization thinks of you. You go against that, it's hideous to the organization. Meanwhile, while Jordan Spieth is searching for golf's Grand Slam, Rory McIlroy announced Monday that he suffered a total rupture of the ATFL, the anterior telofibular ligament. Rory McIlroy, how'd he do it? Well, he was trying to be Carly Lloyd. Didn't work. He injured his leg in a boot, and now he's on crutches. Ben Hogan was the last Open champion who did not play the following year. That was in 1954. Ben Hogan. Rory McIlroy, potentially, to be the first one since 1954 to not play the year after he won it, opening the door up for Jordan Spieth. Advice to Jordan Spieth. Don't let this happen in your career. Rory, I've lost a little bit of respect for you. You're one of the faces of your sport. Why are you playing soccer in season? Makes no sense. How did you get yourself in this situation? Rory McIlroy, one of the faces of his sport. Jason Pierre-Paul, the face of the New York Giants, and I guess one of the faces of the New York sports scene, which is quite weak right now. Robinson Cano brought up one thing this past weekend. He said he's battling a stomach illness. He said he was diagnosed with a parasite and treated it with antibiotics, but he's still bothered by, quote, acid reflux. He said, when things go well, people like everything you do. When things don't go well, people look for 1,001 explanations. They don't understand you're a human being. Look, to all these athletes, I understand you're all human beings, but at the same time, you have a great responsibility as athletes. You have an even more added profile. You're better than this. You're better than this. And Robinson Cano, I get that you're human, but at the same time, you're on that pedestal when you're an athlete. And frankly, for McIlroy and Pierre-Paul, this was a very, very bad weekend and one that should never happen, one that we don't see with one of the finest organizations in all sports. In fact, the finest, and I'll get to this later in the show, the San Antonio Spurs. Do you see Tim Duncan, you see Tony Parker have accidents like this? No, because Greg Popovich won't tolerate it, and that's why this franchise brings in rings. And that's why they're spending the money right now to bring in more rings. It's all relative in sports. It's all relative. To Corey Ponarello with his tip-off.
John, we turn to the diamond. And as a Brooklyn nephew, child, growing up, I've been to Brooklyn a couple times. Why? My grandparents. Well, they grew up in Brooklyn, and when they rooted for a team, back in their days, the team to root for was the Brooklyn Dodgers. Well, John, following in my footsteps was my father, Jack Ponarolo Jr., and he shed his Los Angeles Dodger love in the family, and I picked up right where he left off, loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. And as a result, I am a Dodger fan. Well, we do turn to the diamond for this rant. As a first-place team with a, I like to call it the Italian brow, where one of my brows is above my forehead and the other one is almost below my left eyelid. A very astonishing look is on my face on how this team is in first place, a first-place club with an NL that is mind-blowing this season, playing much better than the AL. But a team, after averaging 4.76 runs per game in April, the Dodgers offense kind of started to disappear. It dropped to 4.11 runs per game in May and 3.89 runs per game in June. The club's winning percentage has also dropped in each subsequent month. The Dodgers led the majors in slugging percentage in April, but dropped to 11th in May and 12th in June. So I wonder, well, you know, we have the highest payroll in the MLB. What's starting to go wrong? We have a lot of young talent in Peterson and Grandal, so let's keep it rolling. The Dodgers' bats have gone quiet as the warmer weather rolls around this summer. Leadoff man Jock Peterson entered Friday's series and was not playing well, as a leadoff man was hitting over 300 throughout the year. Last series opener was hitting 162. Yuck. In his last 12 games with zero home runs after hitting 17 home runs in his first 53 games. And those home runs were over 400 feet. So he has underperformed, I guess you can say, as of late. Slugger Adrian Gonzalez was hitting 109 in his previous 12 games and had two home runs since May 6th after blasting eight home runs in April. Jimmy Rollins has struggled in his first season in L.A., hitting under 200 and 132 in his previous 12 games. And catcher Yasmani Grandal hitting 205 in the last 12 games, and Ethier hitting 196 in his last 16. My last statistic, because it just makes my stomach sour even talking about these numbers. Even when the team has its share of base runners, everybody, the Dodgers are hitting 227 as a team with two outs and runners in scoring position. Well, Don Mattingly, quote, "That's something that comes and goes." Not come playoff time, Don. Not come playoff time. But, John, I do turn the stage back to you, as you will go one-on-one with our guest sports anchor, Jed DeMissi of WKRC Cincinnati. John, take us away here.
That's right. Jed DeMissi joins us. WKRC sports anchor in Cincinnati. There's a big week coming up in Cincinnati. It's a Great American Ballpark where the All-Star Game and the festivities will be beginning next week. But first off, partner, thanks for joining us here late night, Midnight Madness. And I know you've got a lot of experience yourself over the airwaves. I asked for 10 to 15 minutes. You said you could give us 3 hours, partner.
Oh my gosh.
How was the 4th of July?
That was fantastic. I hope I didn't cut Steve Garvey's son short. That I enjoyed that rant from Dodger Blue over there. That was some good stuff. I had a great 4th. Happy to join you.
Well, Jed, we welcome you in here now, and we're talking all things. We'll start in the NBA and really the team of the day, the San Antonio Spurs. David West, $12.3 million he turns down. I was thinking about his agent, who can't be in the best of moods for his commission that he would normally get. But David West takes the veteran men. Is it with the San Antonio Spurs? I'm ready to say it, and I think it's been known for quite some time, but there's always that debate. Are the San Antonio Spurs the best franchise in sports, and what do you make of their moves in free agency here?
Well, first off, I contend that David West's agent really isn't seeing the forest for the trees. I mean, I think that he's probably has a nice house and his kids are going to private school on the back of David West. It was surprising that he did that. When he did that, when he opted out of that final year with Indy, you just had a sense that he was going to pick a place to go where he could win. And you talk about best franchises in sports. I mean, I don't know really how you argue with the Spurs being the best franchise in sports. And you can talk Patriots, you can talk other teams, but to do it in the NBA I think is a unique thing because you don't – when was the last time you heard of a – I mean, you hear a holdout, you hear a guy's not showing up for training camp. But when was the last time you heard of an NFL player opting out of a deal? I mean,
right.
it just doesn't happen. So for them to be for them to have everything go their way all the time in such a league that is set up for crazy sort of, you know, a guy can decide on a whim he doesn't want to get paid $12.3 million next year. And the Spurs are a step ahead of everybody. And it's almost unprecedented. I mean, it was like 12:01 in the signing period. Kawhi Leonard locked up. I mean, did he even take a meeting with anybody? I mean, they get everything that they want. You know, they clear Thiago Twitter out. It's incredible. I don't think that there's any question that in terms of how to build a franchise that they're far and beyond out ahead of people.
And they find a way to keep Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. Patty Mills is still on that roster. I mean, what they put around Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, it shows the respect that they have for those two players. It really shows a lot. There's no doubt about that. Jed DeMuzzi joining us. He's our guest from WKRC. And, Jed, the Spurs were the story of the day, the story of the night. Well, you know your NBA franchise is doing well when I look on my Twitter timeline and see Clevelanders left and right flocking and being so excited for a backup point guard addition. Mo Williams is making his return to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right.
And, Jed, I think we both agree here. This is a move that had to happen. The Cavs needed to figure out a way to upgrade a backup point guard.
Yeah, and that the Mo Williams, bringing him in really made a ton of sense. There were talks about Joe Johnson. There were talks today about Jamal Crawford. I don't know necessarily if that's going to happen. Now, obviously, those two guys are not point guards. But I'm glad that Mo Williams is in. You know, his deal is obviously, I mean, like it matters. I think Dan Gilbert's luxury tax is going to be more than the Indians' payroll. I mean, I think that's actually true.
He
might as well just buy the Indians. But I like the deal that we brought Mo back. It gives me a clearer picture of the plan, because to give Amon Shumpert a $40 million deal,
yeah,
and then for there to be rumors about Joe Johnson and Jamal Crawford, two notorious guys that want the ball, that want minutes, you know, Crawford, you know, in L.A., he sort of was okay with, you know, not starting because they didn't have a very deep team. He still played 30 minutes a night. Well, why are we paying Shumpert $40 million and then bringing in a guy that's going to, you know, expect to play 25, 30 minutes a night? It didn't make sense. So with the kind of this Mo Williams move, it just gives me kind of a clearer picture. I think it's hard to kind of discern what is and what isn't in NBA free agency in terms of the rumors that are flying around. But this move makes a lot more sense to me than some of the other things I heard that the Cavs were sort of dipping their toes in the water on.
Jed DeMuzzi from WKRC in Cincinnati is our guest. And, Jed, I think the obvious pick could be the San Antonio Spurs. Beyond them, who else are you impressed by in NBA free agency?
You know, I work with a big New York Knicks fan, and he's the type of guy that, you know, he was talking me up on. I don't even remember the Brook Lopez, very
Chris
good, but the backup
Porzingis
center. Chris, 6'10", 210. That's going to be a problem. But the backup center they got from the Magic, you know, he's an All-American. You know, he's I think he's from Norfolk State. The name escapes me, but just, I mean, everybody thinks that they've won. Everybody thinks that, you know, that they're out there and winning. You know, I thought the Suns kind of maneuvered themselves in a position to get LaMarcus, and that obviously sort of fell through.
Yeah, still got Tyson Chandler.
Right. In terms of the off season, when you couple what teams did in the draft and what teams did in free agency, To me, Sam Dekker in Houston scares me to death. I mean, I think that may be one of the sneakiest kind of picks, because everyone was saying, you know, this guy isn't ready, he's just a shooter. Well, on that team, he can just be a shooter.
Right.
You know, I think that move there, in terms of free agency, you know, I think they're – the Kings, you know, they've definitely made some moves. I don't know if you know, Rajon Rondo is the typical George Karl point guard. I made the comment at 12:01 when free agency opened that, you know, I will purchase NBA League Pass if Rajon Rondo ends up on a team with Boogie Cousins with George Karl as a coach. And the owner, you know, sort of trying to get George Karl fired before the draft. I mean, that team is nuts, but they've made some decent moves. When you talk about great free agency periods, what are we really talking about? Does it matter in the grand scheme of things? And really, I don't think it does. I don't think anybody in the East has done anything that makes me think, hey, the Cavs better watch their back.
Yeah.
And teams in the West, I mean, Golden State didn't have to do anything. They've got a fantastic team. The Spurs, obviously, the clear front runner in terms of the upgrades that they've made. I don't think the landscape of the NBA has changed in this free agency period.
I'm in complete agreement with you. Jed DeMuzzi joining us from WKRC. The gap in the East is clear. I think the team that's made the biggest splash is really the Miami Heat with Justice Winslow and then Dwayne Wade, and they've got Chris Bosh, Whiteside, but that still is a team. Wade is old. There's no doubt about it. That's a team that maybe they're a top five team, top four team, but still, the Cavaliers have LeBron James, and if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are healthy, well, I think they're NBA champions. Let's get to the All-Star break, and it will be no break in Cincinnati. Jed, for those fans who don't know much about Great American Ballpark and whatnot, how excited is the city of Cincinnati, and what do you make having the All-Star festivities at Great American? I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had the day off today. It'll be my first day off, in the next 2 weeks, because when you talk about Cincinnati, there's this weekend, this Saturday night, in Sparta, Kentucky, which is just about 20 minutes over the river, is the Quaker State 400. NASCAR's in town. So, I mean, we are going to be, you know, burning both ends of the candle with the All-Star game and NASCAR. I mean, this is maybe the busiest week in Cincinnati sports that there has been in quite some time. This city, honestly, would figure out how to host an All-Star game every single stinking year. I mean, this is a baseball town. I mean, if the commissioner said we're just going to play every game in Cincinnati, Cincinnati fans would say, oh, yeah, that sounds about right, because we're the city of baseball. And they would figure it out. There are a lot of people here that feel like this is a long time coming, because for a period of time, and it really kind of started, I guess, sort of with the Indians. I think the 19—I'm going to date myself here for your listeners, but I think the 1994 All-Star game was at Veterans Stadium in Philly. 95 was at a brand new ballpark in Texas. And then it was sort of kind of a thing where if you built a new ballpark, Major League Baseball was going to make sure that you got an All-Star game sort of within like 5 or 6 years. Happened in Cleveland, happened, Coors Field in Colorado. They obviously went to Fenway, which wasn't built in that 5-year window. But they went to Atlanta. They went to Arizona. And a lot of people, I guess, are sort of thinking, when is the Reds' turn? Because that stadium was built in 2002, and it's now 2015, and there just weren't too many teams that were waiting in 10 years after building a new stadium. So this city has been ready for a while to host, and it'll certainly be a fun week.
It'll be a lot of fun. A lot of Kansas City Royals, though. I don't know about that. Six Royals. Look, they play good baseball.
Ned Yost today, reading an ESPN article. He said he picked Kelvin Herrera. So, you know, I don't even know what kind of year he's at. I'm sure he's fantastic. But the point that he made was, you know, I don't know too many guys that pitched in Game 7 of the World Series. Okay, I understand that. I mean, that's fine. First of all, you're limiting yourself.
It doesn't make you an All-Star. That was last year.
you're kind of pigeonholing yourself a little bit, Ned.
Right.
I mean,
I'll
you
be
can
honest.
Only pick.
I don't know. I don't know who Kelvin Herrera is.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, I mean, obviously the AL manager that went to the World Series is the manager in the All-Star game. But if you're holding it to that criteria, you know, I don't know, John. I'm pretty sure there's only one American League team that makes the World Series every year. So holding it to that standard, I mean, you might as well just pick everybody from your team, number one. Number two, what's that got to do with any, you know, I don't know. The Royals obviously have had, you know, 25, 26 years of futility, and now they're definitely sort of on the rise. And I remember when they hosted the game a few years ago, and Robinson Cano didn't pick a Billy Butler to do the home run derby, and Robinson Cano probably to this day in Kansas City is persona non grata, you know, because they had very few opportunities to be involved, and now it's sort of, you know, a big wave of opportunity for that team. So, you know, all the best to the Royals that are making the trip. And I don't know, somebody needs to get the license plate number for Matt Carpenter, St. Louis Cardinals third baseman, because he went from having a 2 million vote lead to start the All-Star game to not being selected in the span of 3 weeks.
So strange. So very strange. Well, it'll be a ton of fun at Great American Ballpark. And you can follow Jed DeMuzzi on Twitter, at Jed DeMuzzi. I know we have to do this again. Jed, always a pleasure to be talking to you on Twitter and whatnot. Have a lot of fun throughout the next couple weeks. I know it'll be busy, but can't wait to have you on again. Thanks so much. And have some Skyline chili if you're up for it.
Well, Camp Washington chili if you come to Cincinnati. When you make a visit down here, I'll show you all the haunts. You can't look from
Thank
the outside
you.
In and think Skyline, but pleasure's all on my end. Appreciate it.
Great to talk to you, Jed DeMuzzi. Awesome to have him on the show. Corey Ponneroli, got a few minutes left. I turn it back to you, partner. A lot of different things from Jed. The San Antonio Spurs really winning NBA free agency. Interesting point, though, that he brings up. There really isn't that huge of a difference. There's still not that big of a difference. The Cavs are still the clear favorite in the East. It's the Warriors and the Spurs in the West, partner, and that's what it really looks like right now. But I give it back to you. You started the show by talking Dodgers. What's on your mind right now? I know we got a pretty active week in television. I was watching a little shark action. What's on your mind, partner?
Well, John, 2 minutes left in the show. You know, Jed with great insight. Loved him. I loved him talking MLB, NBA. Like you said, Warriors, Spurs, Cavs are, you know, the top-notch favorites. Free agency has been, you know, up and down. LaMarcus Aldridge to the Spurs, David West. Mo Williams coming back to Cleveland is always great. Always seeing some fun throwback pictures of him and LeBron sharing hugs with headbands. But, John, you know, it's Midnight Madness, likely, you know, we do say it's not all about sports. And, you know, why not turn to one of the most actually popular television shows, broadcast stations, whatever you want to call it. We turn to Discovery Channel, John, and let's talk a little bit of Shark Week. You know, it's once a week, and it's been going on for the past 30 years, and it is the most watched series in a week span for the past 30 years, John. And, you know, there are people who are frightened, and, you know, you can watch Jaws, you can watch this, and, you know, there's been an increase in shark attacks along the East Coast the past couple weeks. So I don't know necessarily watching Shark Week will be the greatest idea for, you know, most people. But, you know, if that doesn't frighten you, it's actually very unique and a very interesting series. You know, when it comes to the attacks and people getting up close and personal with these creatures, you know, they do say they're vicious and so. But it's really cool and unique and very different from the sports world, obviously, how, you know, such, you know, behemoths, I wouldn't say obviously not walk, but swim the vast ocean. Always great pictures, always, you know, fishermen trying to wheel in these great monsters and stuff. Give it a shot if you haven't seen it. Turn it on. Always, it's on 24/7. So if you're looking something, your weekend shows aren't on, your weekday shows aren't on, something got caught off on Fox or ESPN showing it's some crazy documentary, turn to Discovery Channel. Give the sharks a shout out.
You know what? It's more of a sport than
Heroes of the Dorm that was on ESPN2. I remember watching back in early May, and I was texting you saying, what the heck is going on? While you were studying away for finals, I was thinking to myself, what on earth is this? I looked up, I was flipping through channels, and all of a sudden I thought I saw Pokemon on my ESPN2 screen. Instead, it was just a bunch of random Joes running around, and people were breaking it down from a desk and getting paid. And they were just a bunch of sweatshirts and jeans. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, man, I'm trying to get on the air, you know, potentially at the four-letter network. And I didn't go by the route. You think those guys thought all that time that Heroes of the Dorm, that was going to get them on ESPN someday? I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Shark Week's more of a sport or more entertaining than that. It is so entertaining, but it does make me think every time I step in the Jersey Shore. When I go out pretty deep, but normally I am a deep swimmer, I head out there. I certainly, folks, if you've seen my figure, you know that I can float in that water. But my legs, I just hope they don't look like chicken meat to a shark, because you know what? I've been out there, and I've been waiting, and I've been looking around at times. I've never seen one, but it does freak me out just a little bit because I don't want to be in Jaws 4, Fanta Goes Down. I don't need to be in that type of a movie. I don't want to see that happen. So it makes me think every time I have some Day's ice cream over at Ocean Grove that that extra moose track might draw the smell from the great white shark. Look, I don't think it'll happen, but it always comes up in my head. It always comes up in your head. You know it does when you watch Shark Week, because we love watching animals. Speaking of animals, we watch the hot dog eating contest. I know we've gone a little over time, but we'll put this on the pod center. I got to tell you what, highlights of the weekend, Matt Stoney taking over the title, Joey Chestnut, and then the intro for Badlands Booker was beyond fantastic. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen on sports television, when Big Badlands Booker had the PA announcer rapping his intro. I mean, we can watch so many great things on ESPN. I've never watched an introduction like that. Maybe the best introduction for somebody in a competition in sports history.
John, for, you know, we talk about introductions, but we have to give credit. And I'm not 100% sure what the name of the introductory host.
His name escapes me. Right.
And he did a phenomenal job.
Oh,
you know, holding it together. I thought a lot of it was humorous, and if I were trying to do that, I think I would crack up mid, you know, introduction. But I have to get, you know, tip my hat off to him. He made the hot dog eating contest introductions, you know, something to some form of enjoyment. And every year, July 4th, you know, it's always great seeing, you know, someone go down. Stoney actually head to head against Chestnut, I think, has defeated him about 8 times in different food challenges, I guess you want to say. But also, John, we were talking about, you know, what food you and our viewers definitely want to get a poll out there. What food you, if you had to, competitive eat? And that was a fun conversation around the Ponderola household. But, John, like you said, we did go over time, 3 minutes over time, but that is just what Midnight Madness has to do to make our show the best it can be. But, John, any final concluding thoughts? Any snubs real quick, maybe from the All-Star game, either AL or NL, you think that should have been on the first-team roster or on the bench?
Well, you know what? I thought Alex Rodriguez did get snubbed. I mean, I think he's having a good enough season. Look, I have to judge the player not based on his past use of Roy, not based on all that. Looking at the player himself, I think that there are some players that are not as good or meaningful to the Yankees, certainly, for Rodriguez, what he's meant to a team in the Yankees. Look, I thought he could have made it. I really do. I think he's having that kind of a season. Having 6 Kansas City Royals is a little bit absurd. The most pulverizing player right now in this league that people aren't talking about is Jose Altuve, the second baseman for the Houston Astros. He's such a fantastic asset. He really is. He really is, and I love the kid. So if you're watching next week, I know we'll have shows before then to look at the All-Stars. We got some Home Run Derby stuff planned. Really fun to talk to Jed. Cincinnati's an awesome baseball town. It's right by Kentucky, for folks who don't know about it. You know how they root on their basketball team.
Kentucky, Cincinnati, Hall, all have huge crowds, massive crowds. They're just as good for baseball. So it's going to be so fun for MLB All-Star Week to be there. Trey Ponce, I leave it up to you to finish the show, and I've got one thing that I think you have to end the show with a bang with here as we wrap up in our final minutes. But what a star-spangled weekend it was. I know how much you love the game of soccer, and my friend, that was so fun to watch last night.
And what a one of the best soccer games I've laid my eyes on, John. You know, what it means for a country that isn't so big when it comes to soccer. And when I say the word big, I should have used the word talented. You know, we don't have the greatest talent when it comes to soccer. There are countries such as Spain, Italy, Argentina, Brazil, who eat, breathe, sleep soccer. But to win a World Cup, a Women's World Cup, I don't care if it's just men, but it means so much to this country as a whole. And just on the 4th of July weekend, Carly Lloyd's hat trick in under 20 minutes. It was fantastic. A sweet taste of revenge as well. But all in all, such a great game. Abby Wambach, I congratulate her. One hell of a career, international career. And that's all she wrote for United States women's soccer. What a great way to end it, and perfect way to end your 4th of July weekend. I have nothing else to say about this team, but John, like you said, great 4th of July weekend, well spent. Looking forward towards next year's 4th of July, but 6 minutes over the time limit. Not bad. I think we got everything. It was a very jam-packed weekend. We had a lot to talk about. Everyone, me and John will be on tomorrow at midnight, Midnight Madness. You know how we do things. 12 o'clock tomorrow, tune in. Follow John on Twitter at John_Fanta. You can follow my personal account at C_PONTZ or my professional account with sports updates and more at Corey_Pontarolo. John, thank you for tuning in, buddy. And obviously, don't want any other co-host aside from you. You make the show great. Way to be. And for all of those tuning in, good morning, I should say. And we look forward for you guys tuning in tomorrow. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great rest of your day.